rolling.
Hey guys, we're here at Monster Mania, and this is a very cool experience here for me. You know, one of the actors from one of the best movies ever made. I mean, you guys, everybody has seen E.T., right? You know, this guy played Elliot, the main star of E.T., you know, besides the alien, maybe.
Yeah, the alien, yeah.
We got Henry Thomas here. Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Oh.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. You got kind of a little mini reunion here for E.T. Can you tell
us
about it?
Yeah, we've got Dee Wallace, who played Mary, my mom, and Robert McNaughton, who played my brother Michael, and myself. Sometimes we have Tommy Howell here, but he's not at this one.
Okay.
But, yeah, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and the fans seem to really love seeing us all together.
Now, does it seem weird, like, coming back, like, kind of like a reunion of types, or like a family reunion? Because you kind of, like, I mean, at such a young age, you know, you guys had an amazing experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, I mean, Dee and Robert are sort of family, because we've known each other most of my life, anyway. And it's great to see them, and it's nice to come, and it's amazing to me that 36 years later, fans are still excited to see photos from E.T. and ask questions about E.T., and that's a rare thing, you know.
Now, this is probably like one of your first major projects, right?
Yeah, it was my second film. Yeah. I had done one feature film before that called Raggedy Man, right. 1981. And or 1980, and then E.T. we filmed in 81.
Was it a hard process to get hired, like a hard audition process? Like, how many kids do you remember, like, were trying out to be Elliot?
Well, they had actually cast someone else as Elliot.
Oh, wow.
And then changed their minds and went back to the drawing board. And the first film I did, Raggedy Man, was a Universal film. Right. And Spielberg saw a clip that the director of that film, Raggedy Man, Jack Fisk, that he put together of me, because he had heard that Spielberg was looking for a boy for this new project that became E.T. And that got me the audition.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was actually kind of an inside job that I even got through the door, because I had happened to work with the same studio that Spielberg was working with at the time.
And being such a young actor, you worked with, like, you know, one of the biggest directors ever.
Yes.
And even, like, all the great movies that he has created over the years, people still, I think most people refer to E.T. as his, like, pinnacle. How was it, the whole process? Like, how much did you learn from working with Spielberg?
Oh, well, I mean, anytime you work with a great director, you learn a lot. I mean, you know, Steven is, he's an auteur. And he's a filmmaker, and, you know, he has his bag of tricks, and he has his usual things that he uses and everything like this, but I think E.T. is his most human film, ironically, featuring an alien.
Right, right. You know, featuring an alien, I think at the time, most alien movies were like, the aliens were kind of like the bad guys.
Yeah, they
you know,
were the bad guys.
They were attacking the humans. This one was kind of a reverse, where the humans were kind of the bad guys. The FBI agents. And
the government.
The government, yes, yes.
And the thing was that they didn't really know how to market it. If you go back and look at the original trailers for E.T., like the first trailer, it was kind of this ominous, he's alone. He's 300 million light, 3 million light years away from home. And it was this kind of dark, like, what is this thing? And then it was like, they didn't think it was going to do anything.
Right.
And then it came out, and it was a sentimental thing that people responded to. And it became like a sensation. And then they embraced it because they knew it was successful.
And was it hard being a child actor? Like, I know, like, as a kid watching this movie and growing up with it, some parts were kind of scary. Was it scary working on the set, you know, being such a young actor?
I mean, you know, if you've spent any time on a film set, it never seems like it could ever be taken as being believable when it happens on a film set.
Right,
because
right.
It's so...
Even as a kid.
Yeah, and it's so... disconnected and you know the time it takes to get a complete scene, you just never feel like any immediacy, you know.
Right.
You can be scared, but you know the suspension of disbelief is very the margin is very small, right?
And the director calls cut, and then all the scariness goes away anyway.
Yeah, and
right?
Then you gotta go get touched up, or you know, have a coffee, or whatever it is, you know, or break for lunch for an hour, and come back and start again. So it's always kind of disconnected.
And working with such a young cast, you worked with, you know, Drew Barrymore. How was it? How was she as a child actress? And like, do you still keep in touch?
She was great. She was really funny because she was only 6 and she couldn't really read that well. So, like, she had to be told what her lines were and then memorize them that way. And so we'd run the scenes together in the morning to kind of get the lines in her head. But, you know, she steals the show. I mean, she's great, you know, and she's so cute and so so precious in that.
All right, and now, like, with the movie was number one, was the top rated movie ever until, what was it, until Jurassic Park in the 90s.
Jurassic Park, I think Jurassic Park beat us domestically.
Okay.
But E.T. still had the international box office. Titanic was the one that actually knocked us out of the water.
Which Billy Zane's Billy here somewhere. Keep him over there, right?
We stare at each other like this.
Give each other dirty looks all day. And of course, you know, Hollywood always wants to reboot, do sequels. And I remember, like, back in the 80s, there was talk about doing an E.T. sequel, like, right after the first movie.
Yes.
Where I believe the some evil E.T.s came down to, like, try to capture E.T.
It's like,
how far did that get? Were you involved in any of the discussions?
No, I was not. I was, you know, I obviously, if it had been done, I would have been in it, but I think Spielberg was very wary of any kind of extra bit that might tarnish the image of E.T. or ruin it somehow. And I love that it's a standalone film.
I agree with you. Like, you can't top it, so why even bother doing a sequel?
I mean,
or a remake.
You know, the best advice that any performer can give another performer is always leave them wanting more.
That's true, true.
And so I think that's a good catchphrase for E.T.
And after E.T., you know, you've been working ever since, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I loved Cloak and Dagger, like,
thanks.
Another one of my favorite 80s films. How was it working with Daphne Coleman?
It was great, he was amazing, and of course, you know, I knew his work, and he was famous, and it was exciting to meet him as a boy and to work with him. He's a great actor. Cloak and Dagger, one of three films I did as a kid, or four films I did as a kid. It was the first film that I did when I had a three-picture deal with Universal back in the 80s, but it flopped at the box office. So when it did, I lost my 3-picture deal.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, they pulled that away, and then the executives changed. And
But then it kind of, like, picked up steam, became kind of like a cult classic on, like,
did,
VHS and on cable.
It was the cable outlets that had kind of brought it back into the viewership. And, I have a Cloak and Dagger poster on my
signing table.
It's a popular item at these conventions.
But then you're still working hard. I see you're like Ouija, Psycho, Gangs of New York. What's some of your favorite recent projects?
Well, recently I worked on I've been working with Mike Flanagan, the director. He directed Ouija, and he directed Gerald's Game. And he directed a series that I'm in for Netflix called Haunting of Hill House. That's coming out this fall.
Wow, that's huge. Okay.
Yeah, good. It's a 10-episode series.
Okay.
It's coming out in the Stranger Things slot because they don't have a season this year.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been collaborating with him on the last 3 projects that I worked on. And he's doing Dr. Sleep, sequel to The Shining.
That's awesome.
And
wow, okay.
So I'll probably have a little part in that too.
Wow, that's awesome. So do you prefer the horror genre?
I'm kind of open to any genre. It's more about, like, the story and the arc of the work for me as a performer, you know, like the genre and the film and all of that, that's the director's medium, you know, but as an actor, I just enjoy I enjoy playing disturbing roles, and I enjoy playing very compromised people. So that's a great thing for horror.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, one question before you go, you know, just being a childhood actor and now being an adult actor, was there any kind of difficulties being a child actor? I know, like, I mean, it's well documented about Drew Barrymore having issues, like, you know, or teen years and going through Hollywood. Did you encounter any of that kind of stuff? And if not, like, what kind of kept you grounded?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I made my share of stupid mistakes, right, and probably didn't handle my career as well as I could have, like, at various times because I was young or a teenager or stupid or whatever it is. But, you know, bottom line, I'm a survivor, and you know, if it wasn't something, it would be something else. So I just keep my head down and do the work, and
you're still enjoying it.
Keeps coming, yeah.
And people are still enjoying seeing your work. They're still coming here. They're still
talking
about your projects, getting your autograph, getting your pictures.
It's nice,
good to see you.
Right. It's good, and that's great to come to these things for the fans, because you know, you can feel pretty disconnected as an actor, like going from one job to the next and then going home and going to work. And it's nice to actually meet people who are enjoying your projects or not enjoying your projects and hearing from them, you know.
I hear that too. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, that's...
Are people like, E.T. sucks? What are you doing?
Yeah, I've had people say that before, you know. But
you always got this. You always find the haters no matter what.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of the art form, is that, you know, it doesn't speak to... It speaks to everybody, but everybody doesn't have to love it.
Right, true.
And, you know, if people walk away saying, hey, I didn't like that, that disturbed me, or... you know, that didn't sit right with me or something, then I feel like that's a bit of a victory in terms of...
They're still feeling something, right?
They're feeling something, yeah.
They weren't bored, they weren't falling asleep.
Or, you know, even if they became bored of it, I think it was... you know, you're there as kind of like an emotional compass to humanity, to kind of show, like, hey, this is one possible outcome of an emotional path. And by doing that, I think we're kind of like seeing eye dogs for the hearts of people as actors.
I agree, because look at E.T. all these years, decades later, and it's still touching people, still, like, you know,
but it's because
a new generation is still, like, enjoying it.
At its core, what it's about is compassion.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Right? And anything that is about something... basic and human like that, that's right, emotional attachment, we can all relate to, because we've all had that at some point, right?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can still use some compassion, and I'm here with Henry Thomas, great actor, one of my favorite. If you don't mind putting a quick promo, let us know you're listening to Below the Belt, say who you are, yeah, and just say a couple of your projects.
Okay. Hi, I'm Henry Thomas from E.T., Legends of the Fall, Gangs of New York, and Ouija, Origin of Evil. And you're listening to Below the Belt.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh.